Coming up this week on the Course of Life podcast, we had a celebrity free week at Pebble Beach, but some Jordan Spieth hype and a winner from our podcast picks. We get into that, plus everything we're tuned into, including an Arctic blast of epic proportions. And this week's guest is Ali Khan, host of the Food Network Spring Baking Championship. We bring him back onto the show to preview the upcoming season and get an update from him as well. And we finish with some hoops talk and baking when we hashtag always end with food. All of it brought to you by our friends at Flight Scope Golf. Mike, I love going out in the backyard for my 10-minute golf routine that I do every day I can. And a simple part of that routine is just bringing that Mevo unit out into my backyard. And the reason's simple. The Mevo is a pocket-sized unit that gets me all the data I need to know how well I'm hitting the ball and how far I'm hitting the ball each and every day. It's the quick, easy information you need that's really hard to get with a lot of other tools out there in the market. This Mevo is a great tool, and our promo code is COL10 for 10% off of your Mevo unit. You've seen Bryson use it. You've seen Bubba Watson and other tour pros use it. I love it in the backyard or at the range to get dialed in. So much info. It's the FlightScope Mevo, and you can get it with promo code COL10 for 10% off today.
And welcome to Course of Life, part of the Morning Read Podcast Network. We are proud to be presented by our friends at Desert Fox Golf and Groove It Golf. I'm Michael, he's Alex. And Alex, always a beautiful weekend at the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am without the AM, so it was the Pebble Beach Pro. And there was a lot going on all weekend. We'll get into how good we are at picking winners in a little bit because
we
all were in the excitement. But let's start with the charity match on Wednesday because we're big fans of Macklemore, and he was all over it Wednesday.
Oh, yeah. You're a huge endorser of Macklemore and his music. Yeah. I love his personality. And he's taken up the game recently. I mentioned at the top, it was celebrity free for the weekend. You didn't get those painfully slow 6-hour rounds on Pebble Beach where we're watching, 75-year-old executives three putt on the 18th green for double bogey. So I didn't miss that part. It was nice to see the Wednesday match, though. Macklemore out there stroking it, but no one really played well. Was Alfonso Ribeiro, a.k.a. Carlton from the Fresh Prince. Mike, he had some striped drives, and he made an eagle with his own ball out there in the nine-hole match. Carlton,
nice.
He's quite the player, and we even got a dance as well, too, at the end.
I was going to ask, did he dance? He had to dance.
Well, I threw you a tweet and said, I bet you $5 Macklemore's going to ask for it. He didn't ask for it directly. Carlton made that walk-off. I think it was on like the second to last hole or 17 or something like that. And then he was like, I got to do the dance now. So he just busted one out real quick. But good to see Carlton in action. He's quite the celebrity golfer. And a nice start to the weekend, Pebble.
You know what else was really interesting that I found out Wednesday is that Macklemore actually is launching a golf apparel line of clothing.
Hey, Macklemore. If you're looking for a great media outlet that's on the cutting edge of the game,
that
brings in a lot of golf personalities from all walks of life, musicians that golf as well, who've been on our podcast, hit us up.
We're your boys.
We're here. We're your friends.
We're not even going to wait. We'll hit you up to get you on the podcast.
Yeah, actually, thanks for the reminder. I will be hitting up as soon as we get off here right now.
There we go. Let's get into the professionals who are out on the course starting on Thursday. We talked about this guy last week and we're disappointed with his Sunday. A little bit, just in terms of he didn't win. But Jordan Spieth, again, just all over the leaderboard, didn't get it done on Sunday. But how impressed are we with his game that seems to be just like back? He looks like he's back. He hasn't won yet, but it looks like he's back.
It's encouraging. It starts with off the tee. He just hits so many clutch tee shots. And you know what Pebble Beach looks like? There's a lot of spots where if you miss right, you are out in the Gulf. It just goes out into the beach. So he had a lot of really tense tee shots during the course of the week where his driver held up nicely. That was the first thing to see. And the second thing to see was he was making a lot more putts. Again, a continuation of what happened at Scottsdale. So this is 2 weeks in a row now. Everyone loves the is Jordan Spieth back talk. It's kind of like the in college football is Texas back talk. Like you love recycling. annual, like every year or two. And we seem to be at that point in the spiral again. So I'm feeling the momentum. The snowball is rolling downhill. The speed win does feel inevitable. Just not sure when.
I will say what's probably most promising about his weekend is that all four rounds were under par. And he finished on Sunday birdie. So that's just good to see that he at least didn't get too flustered on Sunday like he seemed to last week. So good for him.
But you mentioned that he was proud of that too, that finish.
Let's talk about getting flustered on Sunday. Let's talk about our boy, Nate Lashley.
Oh, yes. Yeah. This was an unfortunate run for Nate, who had another good week. 17th at Scottsdale, and then top 10 here as well at Pebble. Had a great opportunity, Mike. You know, and he spoke about it when we had him on the podcast a year or two ago. You know, how few and far between these opportunities can be when you're sniffing the top of the leaderboard on the PGA Tour. He knows the value of it. A really, really costly four putt, though, obviously did in his chances. Again, another great week from Nate, but you hate to see the meltdown like that on these pesky little Poa-Anna greens at Pebble Beach.
Yeah, it's depressing. I mean, those of us that aren't pro, even the pros, we've all been there. We know what it's like.
Very sad, but another good week for Nate.
You had a great week, though, because you had Daniel Berger, who shot 65 on Sunday, including an eagle on 18.
Mr. Eagle.
I mean, we've been fans of Daniel Berger. We've liked him ever since you've liked him since before we saw that charity match. I've liked him since we saw him in that charity match. What I mean, is this his year? Is this it?
I don't know. What was he at? 4 or 5 tour wins now? You flash back, Mike, the first tournament after the pandemic when the PGA Tour came back. You'll remember we were on a stream watching Daniel Berger win at Colonial in a playoff over Colin Morikawa. A close call there. So he started off the restart very nicely. He'd been playing before everything happened with COVID very nicely. This is just a continuation of that momentum. He's had lots of good finishes recently. I expect him to be potentially a factor this week as well. He's been known to be a streaky player. This guy pops in and out and definitely made his voice felt this week. Like I said, Mr. Eagle, 4 eagles on the week. He hit them at all the right times too. And that Sunday finish, eagling 18 at Pebble Beach, doesn't get any more ceremonial than that to win by a couple shots. And a 13-1 winner for myself. So first win of the year. My picks are weekly on Twitter at Course Life 1. It was good to get in the winner's circle this year.
Let's do a real quick in the middle of clubhouse chatter pop politics moment, because on Saturday we had about 15 minute in and out of impeachment talk in the middle of a broadcast. You know, terribly politics happens. We all got to know that Trump was acquitted. No real surprise, except that seven Republicans voted to that he was guilty.
Saw that. Yes.
That's it. He's not president anymore, so I'm still happy that he's just not in the Oval Office. So that's
you would appreciate how awkward Saturday afternoon was. So you and I kind of like studying this stuff. What I did is I did a flip of all the networks Saturday afternoon to see who was covering what. So I did a flip Saturday afternoon. There were lots of other sports planned on Fox, ABC, and NBC. They all flipped to the impeachment vote Saturday afternoon. So you could tell CBS was in a real bind at that moment. I'm like, God. Pebble Beach is so beautiful. Are we really going to have to leave this? And sure enough, they did for just a few minutes. The vote came in very quickly and very hastily. Well, once we got the numbers, and then we just kind of quickly went right back to Pebble Beach on CBS. The whole thing was a very awkward exchange. Jim Nantz falling in and out of coverage there really quickly. But an interesting moment on Saturday afternoon with golf and politics colliding. And I'm glad they just went back to Pebble, because there was really nothing to see there on Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, no surprise, really. Unfortunately, no surprise. Surprises. But there was a big surprise that came out of the PGA this week. Let's talk about this. Let's break it down.
Yes.
Rangefinders on tour for the PGA Championship, just for select events, right? So yes. The PGA Championship is one of them.
I think it's the LPGA Championship, and I know that it's the senior PGA Championship on the Champions Tour. So the PGA of America is experimenting with this. This is potentially a huge development in the game of golf. And another, we've said this a couple times before, but a hot seat on the caddies moment as well, too, because we are now introducing rangefinders at the PGA Tour level for not just any tournament, a major championship. So in May, you're going to have players in the tournament and caddies that are going to be using laser rangefinders to get exact yardages. This is something that has been completely banned and illegal from the tour for decades and decades, something that's never really even been considered until the last few years. But alas, what is it, Mike? Is it the pace of play debate? Is it the growth in technology? But we're starting to warm up to the idea of rangefinders in an element.
I would think a rangefinder is going to make the pace of play even slower.
That's what some people are saying. Yeah. The immediate thought is, oh, they're going to get the yards nice and quick. For you and I, the amateur golfers that are just shooting 80 or 90 or 100, we're just clicking the yardage just because we want to roughly know how far we are. But, you know, these guys, like, they go next level. They go slope. They go what the wind. They go, you know, how many yards on from the front, how many from the back. Like, that's just going to be a piece of what they do for their pre-shot routine. So you're right. I think it could slow things down. I'm curious to see how it plays out, though. It's going to look very funny from a presentation standpoint because it's something we haven't seen before.
I mean, look, we already know that Bryson takes about 3 years to play a shot. So with a rangefinder, with all of this now in the equation, is this going to make it 4 years per shot out of Bryson?
Yeah, you asked me on Twitter. You're at MWRINC and I'm at Course of Life One. You asked me on Twitter, so who's going to be the first person to gravitate to this? I just sent you the quickest answer possible. I was like, Bryson. Duh. Bryson. If he's going to get two rangefinders out there if he had it his way, right? I mean, what for backup data, right? You know, you have to, what is it, a control and a placebo or whatever, something like that. You got to mix it up and have variety. So I definitely count on him amongst other players trying it in May. Looking forward to seeing what range finders look like in a major championship.
I'm really not. Let's also just talk real quick about someone that was spotted out on a course that we've played. Past guest Dylan Wu.
That's right. Yeah, it's Korn Ferry season. We're about here. Just as we're recording this on Monday the 15th, you're all hearing this a couple of days later, is the first Korn Ferry Monday Q of the season. So we're back doing Monday qualifiers for the Korn Ferry. I saw Joseph Winslow was in the field, who's been on our show, and Dylan Wu is another past guest who's already on the Korn Ferry Tour, making some real noise there, practicing at a course in Naples, Florida that you and I know very well, TPC Treviso Bay. Nice little track.
Beautiful
there,
course. Beautiful course. Great place. He's probably going to play that course a lot better than we did.
Yeah, no, definitely did. He got some good practice out there. They have a wonderful facility there. Saw him and the girlfriend were going to some really nice restaurants in town, too. So good to see him getting ready for the season as well, too. And we have another former guest we got to talk about as well, too. Getting ready for another big time opportunity this week.
That's right. Willie Mack is in the field this week at the Genesis.
Yes, this was the one he was supposed to have, if you remember. Yes. He got the Tiger Woods retweet and the invite from Tiger originally. And then Kamau Johnson tested positive for COVID 2 days before Torrey Pines. That got Willie Mack into that field. Willie missed the cut. But for those of you who don't know, Willie, with an unbelievably inspirational story, he was on our August 26th, 2020 episode. And he told his backstory. Mike, remember he, driving down the highway, his car set on fire. He had to run for his life. And he's had all sorts of adversity in his pro career. So to see him get to this point and now have his second start on the tour, I'm really excited and definitely got a couple of fans rooting for him hard this week.
Let's talk about the field this week because it is an invitational. So it's loaded. Lots of past champions in the field. Yeah. I mean, Who do you like here? Do you think DJ is going to, you know, he took his week off after winning in Saudi Arabia with the oil grab, and now he's here and he's going to just continue to win. Is he the guy to beat now almost every week, do you think?
I don't like how the PGA Tour just auto throws him at number one in the power rankings. Like, I get that he's the best golfer in the world right now, and I understand he just won. Obviously, those are two very good reasons to put him at the top of the power rankings, but he hasn't necessarily had the most unbelievable run here. He's had a few backdoor top tens in his run at Riviera, but I'm curious to see, you know, how he deals with the fairways. There's some tough fairways to hit at Riviera. It's not necessarily the bomb squad driving range type venue that he likes dominating at. It's going to require a certain amount of precision. So I'm looking a little bit more in the ball striking avenue. So California guys that could strike the ball well. So I'm thinking Colin Morikawa on the card this week, maybe. Mm-hmm. Mike, that's a California guy who's played well and taken a couple weeks off and is rested. Who else? think I got to put Patrick Cantlay as well. Mike, he just played well last week. He's another California guy that's played well at Riviera. I really get locally biased when I see tournaments like this that have been around for a while, because there's guys that just have many more rounds under their belt. So there's a couple picks for you.
Yeah, I'd also throw out there, in terms of looking who else might be worth paying attention to, would be Adam Scott, who
past champion,
won by two last year after having an 8-stroke deficit. So, you know, he's someone to look at. And I feel like now we gotta pump the brakes on Jordan Spieth. Right. We gotta just slow down a little bit.
Man, I felt so smart betting him last week. It was like Saturday afternoon. I was like, I'm a genius. I timed this perfectly. I'm the best in the world. No one can ever stop me. And then the implosion happened. Yeah.
So
it might be a week off on the Jordan Spieth bet. But nonetheless, take a look at our cards on Twitter again, at Course Life One. You're at MWRINC. Wednesday afternoon, we'll get the picks out and you can roll with us, and hopefully we get a winner for the second week in a row on tour.
Let's switch over to Tuned In and share what we're tuning into outside of the world of sports. Alex, I know you've been stuck inside with ice and snow, and you just kind of clear out a little path to your backyard green and just kind of get your golf in, and you go back inside and watch some TV. Is that about right?
Pretty much, yeah. High of 25 degrees today in Austin, Texas. Record cold, a half an inch of ice topped with 6 inches of snow. Mike, the people in Texas have no idea what to do right now.
Let me tell you what you do. Panic. Leave the snow. Yes. Leave the snow. Do not shovel the snow here and leave the ice. Leave the snow.
I thought I moved down here to get away from that. Yeah, but yeah, I was taking our ice scraper, my wife's, and just digging out the car. I didn't bother to shovel. It's all going to be melted by this weekend. I'll probably be on the golf course this Saturday or Sunday and tweet out a picture to everyone out there. But snowpocalypse indeed. We're running our faucets to prevent a pipe burst. People have power out left and right. Fortunately, I'm talking to you right now, which means I'm still good and the lights are still on. But quite a moment here with the Arctic blast hitting as far south as Austin, Texas, scraping ice, car in the garage, the things I never thought I'd do here.
It's crazy. So what have you done when you're not shoveling and scraping? What are you watching?
Oh, yeah, the main thing this past weekend, because everyone had been hitting me, because you know I'm just a sucker for I just love the chronicles and the lifestyle of just cheesy pop music celebrities. I love nothing more. So I had to get on the Britney Spears documentary that's making the rounds. It's hot on the internet.
Yes.
Everyone's talking about it. And honestly, Mike, I didn't really get a lot of new information. I kind of already know exactly what's going on. Essentially, she's under what's called a conservatorship. Her father and management team basically make every single decision for her in her life. That has flexed a little bit. It's opening up slowly by slowly. So it's hashtag free Britney. We're trying to let her make her own adult decisions for herself. But I didn't really get a lot of new info from the Britney documentary.
That's, you know, it's kind of what I've heard about it, and I have no interest in it. So thank you for sharing.
Yeah, you can save yourself an hour 15 and just know that Brittany's fighting the fight and we're all here for.
Meanwhile, I'm actually tuning into some music this past week.
We haven't talked music in a while, actually.
I know. I actually downloaded a new solo album from Hayley Williams, lead singer of Paramore, is what everyone knows her from. This new album, Petals for Armor, pretty awesome, pretty good.
I love Hayley Williams' voice. Just for a big time throwback, 2005.
Yep.
I saw Paramore live. They opened up for Simple Plan. Okay. This was before they were really even letting Hayley sing. They used to be a screamo band. So they used to yell every lyric at the top of their lungs. Then finally they decided we're going to let this girl Hayley like sing our songs instead. And things worked out a lot better for them from there, needless to say. So it's good to see that she's on her own right now. What's your review on the album? I just know her voice. I know her voice is like very intoxicating.
I mean, her music is a little non-conforming to any real genre. I was listening to it in the car with my wife, and she said it reminded her a little bit of Billie Eilish. However, I don't like Billie Eilish, and I like this album. So I will say I feel like my favorite tracks on this album were definitely the ones where Hayley kind of let it out a little more, energy going into the song, as opposed to some of those slower ones. But it was all very different. It's a very different experience going through it than, you know,
I'm here for the energetic music, so I appreciate that. Everyone check out that album from Hayley Williams. Great singer.
Let's get into this week's guest, Alex. It's hard to believe that the last time we had food TV personality and host Ali Khan on this podcast was in 2019.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Man, it feels like only yesterday. It really does. But he's back. He's back both on this podcast and as host of the Spring Breaking Championship premiering on February 22nd on Food Network.
Yeah, very exciting. So that's this coming Monday for everyone listening. Set the DVRs. You know, my appointment television is I set the DVR for the Monday Night Baking series that go pretty much year round on Food Network and watch them on Tuesday while I eat. It's like a weekly routine that is just tried, tested, and true. So I love seeing Ali Khan back on the screen. Not only is he an Austinite that I've met before here in town, I love seeing him on the Food Network. He's a great host. And we get the full lowdown on everything he's doing, what he's up to with his content, and what to expect on this season as well.
And we'll get into that conversation in just a moment. But first, as always, we want to let you know that it is brought to you by our friends at Groove It Golf, makers of the Groove It Golf Brush. This is the easiest way to keep your clubs clean and effective and ready to go on the course.
So true.
And this isn't some little dinky brush. Alex, this is a big piece of equipment on your bag that feels sturdy and ready to go and will give you clean grooves on your clubs.
You're right. And you know what? A really cool customer story I saw online is someone ordered a Groove It, and that built-in pump that we talk about that sprays the water cleaning solution onto the club face. It's awesome. We love ours.
It is.
However, a customer got one that didn't quite work exactly the way we wanted to. They just hit up the Groove It team online. Groove It sent them a replacement immediately. So this company is not only friends of ours, they're about their customer service too.
It is. And they not only with, maybe a pump that's not working right, they got a 3-year bristle guarantee on that brush. So if you can wear it out in 3 years, send it back. Groove It will get you a free replacement. Other things we love about this brush as well, it's got magnets on it. So you pop it off the bag, bring the brush to the club instead of the club to the brush. So prepare to be amazed with the consistency and control that clean grooves will give you. Using your existing clubs with the Groove It, you'll get the spin trajectory and consistency you're looking for. So head on over to their website, grooveitbrush.com, to get your Groove It brush. Again, that's grooveitbrush.com. Head on over there and get your Groove It brush today.
Next up from right here in Austin, Texas, we have a returning guest to the Course of Life. One of the most appetizing follows on Instagram at Ali Khan Eats. And he's back as the host of Spring Baking Championship on the Food Network, which premieres on the 22nd of February, very soon on Food Network. It's Ali Khan joining the Course of Life. Ali, how you doing today?
You know what? For a lot of reasons, Alex, I can't complain. Life is pretty good right now, and trying to stay as busy as possible, pursuing every opportunity we can. But yeah, things are good. Things are good.
You have been. You've been a busy guy for anyone who's followed you on social as well, too. I want to get into kind of everything and catch our audience up from the last time we spoke was the end of 2019. We had a crazy chat that was just full on a lot of different topics. We were talking tailgate food and going out to restaurants. Unfortunately, crowds were not much of a thing for the past year, and those activities were put on hold. A lot of people turned to their kitchens, maybe more than before. I'm curious, what did kind of, as we look back at 2020, what did the year offer for you from that perspective? And maybe kind of getting back to your roots a little bit, not only just, you know, being with family more, but, you know, at your kitchen at home a little bit often.
Well, you know what? I think you really hit something, which was the kitchen. The kitchen has become our kitchen floor. My friend gets hammered. Like, I am sweeping and vacuuming that thing like twice. I swear twice a week at a minimum. We cook a ton at home. We have very much been at home during all this stuff. 2020 is interesting because I kind of started out like being pretty gung-ho about really just checking out more and more of the food scene in Austin. And then is interesting, like if I looked at the beginning of like my Google Maps timeline in 2020, I was all over the place. And then March happened, COVID officially became full-on reality coast to coast. And I started cooking a ton at home. It was a revelation. It's become a real revelation all the way up until as talking about this today, February of 2021. Like, I have to say, my journey with food has changed dramatically. Look, couldn't go out to restaurants, kind of turned the phone camera from someone else's kitchen to my own, living in Austin, Texas. I do a lot of grilling. And this summer was, I mean, the summer of 2020 was interesting. You know, I got to connect with the folks at Traeger. They sent me a grill. I'm a big backyard griller. So I've got two big rigs at my spot. I've got the Traeger. And I also, I've had this for years, and the folks at Kudu Grills just sent me a new one. It's an open fire grill. So I really have two opposite ends of the grill spectrum. You know, I've got a pellet smoker that you can crank up to high heat. And then I've got something that you just, I mean, it's an open air cooking system, a Kudu grill based on a South African grilling style called Braai. And yeah, I'm either like doing pellets or hardwoods. There's not a lot of leeway in between. And I've been doing just a ton of cooking. What was really interesting was, you know, for myself, when I think about how I got into this journey of food, one of my big credits was I wrote a restaurant guidebook. So coming from the food writing world, I was a guy who said, oh, you should go eat here, you should go eat there. But I've always been a cook. I've always enjoyed cooking. I mean, I remember when I was 10 years old, my dad came home from work and he's like, he worked on a Saturday. And he's like, are you cooking eggs and lamb chops? And I'm like, yeah. And he goes, what 10-year-old boy eats lamb and eggs for breakfast? Well, I did.
Very refined.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I really was. I love cooking at an early age. And I feel like, you know, for myself, being 43, when I was doing a lot of food exploration and cooking, I kind of stuck out. There wasn't quite the foodie culture amongst younger folks that there is today. So cooking's always been a big part of me. I just never thought about putting my content towards what I'm cooking. So that's what I did in 2020. Mm. I remember I did a post about basically, I love a Big Mac and I don't love a Big Mac. You know, like a Big Mac is, I mean, do you like Big Macs, Alex?
Yeah, I do when the moment is right. It's been years since I've had one. I usually go like Quarter Pounder or McDouble or something like that. But there is something classic about the way that special sauce sits. Just every once in a while. Not too often, though.
Well, this is what you hit. It's the sauce. I mean, by recipe, by formula, it's a great recipe. It's just, you know, it's a very cheap hamburger. I mean, it's an quote, affordable hamburger. So you can only ask for so much. Well, I look, I'm a big Thousand Island guy. I'm team In-N-Out. I love Thousand Island.
Yep.
I made the Big Mac sauce. Oh, my God. It is a game changer. I made sliders with Big Mac sauce. I put tater tots on top of it. I posted that. I shared it. And people were like, okay, that looks amazing. And it just kind of instilled in me that, you know, after visiting, like, I think I did the math. It's like 240 professional kitchens on Cheap Eats. It's like, you know what? I think I can just look back at all the tricks that I've watched over the years and all the technique, the tips, tricks, and technique, and just start cooking it and cooking the stuff I love to do. So I love grilling, and we've just been cooking a lot. And it's actually interesting with the whole, you know, it's hard to shop. You know, it's hard to kind of be impulsive and just run out to the grocery store. You know, I try, you know, we limit our exposure there. So our latest thing has been meal kits. Have you ever tried that? A meal kit?
Yeah, I've done a couple of different subscriptions before as well too. And just the idea that you can get all these wonderful little like kind of snack creations delivered to you and like shipped next day via FedEx. I get a lot of those in my social media targeted ads. So I become a victim to a lot of those purchases, especially recently.
You know, it's weird. A couple of years ago, my brother-in-law sent us a thing for Blue Apron. And I kind of scoffed at it because I was like, you know what? I know how to cook. I've got a ton of cookbooks at home and I can deal with the grocery store. And then my wife was like, you know, we're going to try this meal subscription out. They deliver it to your door. That way, you know, you don't have to think about everything you want to make. They just send you like a recipe. And what's been interesting is, you know, we're a family of three. So it's very hard when you're a family of three to just buy groceries at the grocery store. It's either, it's always too much, you know, especially with produce and stuff. So with the meal kits, and we've got two in the fridge right now, it's scaled back. All this particular service we use is low waste. They're called Trashless. So, you know, you kind of have this feeling of not having to go through you know, use renewable resources, right? A lot of the stuff.
Yeah, it's reassuring.
And all the foods are from local farms. Now, what's interesting is, you know, look, we all know you go to Whole Foods and, you know, the old joke is it's your whole paycheck. It's true. Well, you don't get something for nothing. With this, it's more expensive, but it's less food. And what I found is I've really developed a taste for real local produce. Like, the produce is astonishing. And the way these recipes work, the meat is actually scaled back a bit. Now, I love to grill, so I love eating meat. I adore it. But on a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, it's kind of nice to, like, basically, I almost feel like I've been put on Weight Watchers because I'm making these meals that are produce heavy, and it's a good thing. And it's just been a really positive experience on making really, really great food, getting out of my, you know, we all have our ruts. You know what I mean? It's like, I just, you know, if you're under the gun, you're like, oh, just get me some chicken breast and some lime juice and some salt and some chilies and we'll make chicken tacos, you know, and it's nice to have a meal kit to kind of take you out of the routine. So that's been really fun too. And on a health kick as well. But yeah, I don't know. I'm a lean and mean Ali Khan for 2021.
I appreciate that. Very refined as well. And you're right. Like, I feel like myself and a lot of people included out there just finding ourselves Googling a lot more recipes and experimenting. So it's good to hear that you're doing the same. Speaking of that, Traeger, I need to ask, because you are one of the kings of Instagram in terms of smoked meats. I know you throw the ribs on the Traeger. You've done briskets and pork shoulder and whatnot. What's like your MVP meat that you've done on the Traeger in the past year or so?
Well, you know what? Right now, it's literally ribs because I just did my latest round of ribs for the Super Bowl.
Yep.
The thing with the Traeger is that it is plenty of trial and error. Like, I just have to say this. And I feel like, you know, you get into the forums. I'm on a Reddit forum about it.
Nice. Love it.
Yeah. I mean, you have to. I mean, smoked meat is not easy. It's hard. And I'll tell you for myself. Like, I live in East Austin. I'm a 4-mile radius from, I think, certainly the better brisket you're going to get, straight up, you know, easily in the top 10 in Texas, which by default could be top 10 in the country, right?
Yeah, you got a competitive neighborhood there.
And really, it's like, what am I doing? Why am I doing this to myself? Well, you know, it's a challenge. It's a journey, not the destination. And I'll tell you, like, I mean, look, I've cooked, you know, what I like about the Traeger is that it's basically a really cool oven, you know? Like, I will tell you, the best thing I made on that Traeger was my Christmas prime rib. It was outstanding. I took slices of that stone cold and I was eating it. And I was like, I feel like I just went to a premium caterer or market, you know, like a real gourmet market. And you're like, can I just get like beef tenderloin or like a prime rib? It tastes like I bought it from a chef. Like it's amazing. How calibrated and how evenly cooked that Traeger is on that prime rib. So to be honest, it was the prime rib was amazing. I did a reverse sear on that, but I've been working on my rib game. That's been the challenge. And look, I mean, if you're using a Traeger like the way people expect you to use it, if you're cooking something for 6 or 7 hours, you need to be prepared the day before at the very least. So this latest run, I what happens is you're around 7 p.m. They're like, you said it was going to be done an hour ago.
Yep. And when you just watch out at that point in the day. Yeah.
Yeah. It's, I mean, that's the thing with all this stuff is, you know, you're not there for efficiency. You're there to experience and learn it. But at the same time, like, you know, I'm not cooking these ribs and throwing them in the trash can after I take the picture. You know, people want to eat them. So, it's taken a few runs. I mean, I'm probably most proud of the ribs right now. I actually took a bite of them a second ago. They're still cold, but they're good. And I like them because, you know, one thing about Texas barbecue is that, to be blunt, it's really favored for beef. When you have barbecue in other parts of the country, you realize that different fruit woods and different rubs favor pork. You know, they're different proteins. They're just different proteins. So I try and do it. I do mine with butter and brown sugar in the foil wrap. And oddly enough, I use Franklin's bottled sauce, which is remarkably closer to a Kansas City sauce. than any of the barbecue sauce you get at any of the barbecue.
Shout out to Aaron Franklin, the legend.
Yeah, shout out to the man. I actually have his book right now, Franklin Steak. I'm actually working on pitching a steak 101, how to cook steak 101, mostly outdoors. And his book, Franklin Steak, is pretty amazing for that.
Good inspiration, indeed. Yeah, it's Ali Khan Eats all over social if you want to follow on these journeys with the Traeger and every other contraption you're using to cook with. Let's now talk about what's coming up next, which I know you're very excited about. I am too. Let's go through the timeline to Spring Baking Championship. And I'm glad we're here to have a Spring Baking Championship in 2021. You know, early in quarantine, I saw you doing lots of different Zoom content. And I know you and I were probably all wondering what TV shows were going to look like, you know, in the midst of everything going on in this world. I'm curious, first off, did you always know that this season of Spring Baking Championship was going to happen? Or what was kind of the timeline for finding things out on your end?
Well, you know, that's the thing. I mean, quite honestly, like, you know, around spring of 2020, everybody was recalibrating on, I mean, I don't think any of us knew what was going to happen next. You know, there were some quarantine shows that the network started doing. The Kitchen, for example, my good friend Jeff Morrow's on it. They would set it up so that they'd be shooting in their homes. And I mean, they would, meaning like Jeff and his family, like his wife, and you know, get a iPhone on a rig, you know, to shoot. And then, you know, they provide the right equipment to kind of stream in there, but to do things as safely as possible in such an unknown time. So we really didn't know what was going to happen. And then, you know, as things, I think, started to settle and people realized there was a way to get back to work, but to do it with the proper protocols and precautions. And what's interesting is in the film and TV world, there were actually whole sectors of a business that initially came from dealing with like catastrophe and also like security. So if you imagine people that were like, okay, in a post 9/11 world, what does security look like? Or if you're out in an extreme area and, you know, there's environmental dangers, folks like that got into the game plan of, okay, so this is COVID. So how do we handle this? You know? And that's what it is. It takes a lot of planning. And, you know, some shows started to come back and they came back a little bit differently. If you see the trailers for Spring Baking Championship, you'll see that it was shot in a tent. They rebuilt the stage for Spring Baking Championship. And it was outdoors. It was pretty amazing. We were a stone's throw from the beach in this huge, you know, giant tent that was, you know, had walls, but at the same time, you had all this free flowing airflow. You know, we worked with the production bubble. We were all tested. I was tested. I couldn't even get on the plane without having a COVID test.
Sure. I was going to ask how often that was happening for you. And you ended up going to, what is it called? Terranea? Is that what it's called?
I cannot tell a fib here. It was pretty gorgeous. And that was intentional. So we stayed at a resort in Rancho Palos Verdes, which is in Los Angeles, but also like a bit removed from the rest of the city. And that was intentional, that you were just away from everything. And, you know, we were, you know, it's kind of funny to say this, but it's like, you're almost like in like, you know, you were sequestered in an area and, you know, I didn't leave, you know, and that's okay because I was in a gorgeous place, you know? And yeah, you know, the protocols are quite extensive. I was tested every 3 days. The crew was tested every 3 days. There was I can never say this right. The
epidemiologist. Yeah.
Yes. God, I just can't say that one. I just can't say it. You know, we had a team like that on staff and, you know, I have to say like, you know, and personally, I mean, we haven't done a lot social wise. We just haven't. And yeah. I felt very confident with the extensive amount of precautions that were taken.
Awesome.
To pull it off. Yeah.
Love it. Let's talk about what happened in there that I noticed. Some really cool content was, you know, yourself and the judges as well, you know, sequestered in there, Terranea, during filming and everything like that. I noticed that you guys had some get-togethers, some family dinners as well, too, with the judges, Nancy and Duff and Cardea Brown as well, too. Tell me kind of what that camaraderie was like when you were in the bubble and had those kind of evenings to spend with each other.
Well, sure. So, I mean, I think it's worth noting that this season, Cardea Brown joined the cast. In seasons past, Lorraine Pascal was a judge on the show. Yep. And, you know, there was just some logistical issues. And some people are like, oh, what happened to Lorraine? Well, she lives in London. And, you know, just with the COVID restrictions, it wasn't possible for her to come. Fortunate to have Cardea Brown join us. And she's awesome. She's actually done some hosting of competition shows in the past as well. And Duff and Nancy, obviously, they've been there since the beginning, since season one. You know, it was great for me because you got to go back. You know, it's kind of funny. It's kind of like going back to summer camp. You know,
nice.
You know, the first time you go, you're like, wow, it's a new place. And then, you know, you're there for a couple of weeks and become friends. And to return back to summer camp is a true pleasure. And, you know, I have to say, I mean, and I just think this is just the way it works. But like my experience is, you know, doing Cheap Eats and, you know, and CHOP too, you know, like with the judges and stuff, people are very welcoming and accommodating. And that's just the MO of the Food Network Cooking Channel family. And you know, you meet some people and they're just really sweet. And, you know, we're all there doing stuff. And I feel like, especially in 2020, so fortunate to be working and doing what we love to do. I think we, you know, really treasured every moment of it, you know. And what was very cool, and it's so funny, talk about a 2020 move, where we stayed had these full kitchens. Had a full-on kitchen.
Yeah, you were really getting to work there.
You know, it's funny too, because, you know, doing Cheap Eats, the battle becomes, oh my God, how do you live a life on the road where not only are you eating the food that you feature in the show, but you're also traveling and, you know, you can't not want to go out to restaurants, especially if you're meeting a bunch of chefs and they're like, oh, go try this place and try that place. And you can only try and work it off so much. And when I came back to Austin after filming, really it was the start of 2019 is when I was like, you know, I looked in the mirror and said, I need to, you know, chill a little bit and find some balance with my diet. And in 2020, it started off great. And then COVID hit. And I think we all got a little bit of the quarantine 15.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And actually, it was interesting. It's kind of a segue from spring baking. We spent a summer road trip. My wife's family lives on the East Coast, and we felt the safest way to visit them was to take a road trip. And we road tripped from Austin to basically the Philadelphia and New Jersey shore. And when I was driving back, you know, we stopped at some cities where we had been visited on Cheap Eats. I gained some pounds. So in 2020, summer 2020, I was like, all right, I got to get back in shape here. And when I started spring baking, I didn't want to lose that. Like, I knew that, you know, doing the shoots are long days and I wanted to stay healthy. So, you know, look, I'll tell you, a big way to stay healthy for someone like myself is to cook food at home, you know, like to really kind of know what's going in there and finding the right balance. And so I cooked a ton at home and all the other guys are cooking at home too. And then we started to say like, oh, you know, one night Dove made pot roast. And I was like, oh, that sounds good. And he goes, come over, let's have some. And, you know, we did potlucks. One night I made dal. I made a chicken sog curry. So it was pretty cool to feed everybody. You know, Nancy made a stew and it was really nice. I mean, I really, you know, thank God for Instacart. Instacart was great because I didn't have a car and they just, you know, would drive up and deliver the groceries. You know, what was really funny was that I got Instacart and the person who delivered the food, he goes, are you that Food Network guy? And I'm like, yeah, I am. That was pretty funny.
And you told me, like, yeah, I'm delivering food to the Food Network guy. That kind of makes sense, actually. Okay.
Yeah. No, you know what? I literally said, I was like, see, it's not all smoke and mirrors. I'm really about this. And you know, it's kind of funny, too. I have to say, like, you know, some of the stuff I was having, like, I don't want to say I was just eating a salad. Like, I get, like, a steak, you know, or a tuna steak or stuff like that. But I found I was eating very, very well just by A, making my own food at home. And, you know, just like making sure I was getting like, I have a ritual. I try and eat oatmeal every day, gets my fiber, fills me up and all that stuff. And oddly enough, I don't drink coffee when I shoot. I always find that caffeine crashes. So, I spent a month in LA shooting spring breaking and I worked out every chance I could get. Oh, that's another big thing too. I do a boot camp workout. And they switched to virtual. So I'm Zooming boot camps and cooking food and shooting the show. So, yeah, I did good for the month of September.
Yeah, surprisingly occupied, too. I like your use of the time there. Nice job. Let's get into the season, the show itself. I want to talk about a challenge and a contestant real quick. Let's first start with teasing what's upcoming on Spring Making Championship. You're the host, Ali Khan. Is there a challenge? I know there's lots of familiar themes that we see in Spring Making Championship, or a particular challenge, or maybe a moment that produces some fireworks in the upcoming season, or some sort of theme that we should watch out for when things get going here in a week.
You know, you clued me in on something. So what's really great about spring baking is that, you know, we really play on the themes, the visual themes of, you know, life returning, right? You know, flowers in bloom and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And there's also specific holidays. One episode we did, I believe it was 702, our second episode, we featured two holidays that happened in the springtime, St. Patrick's Day and another festival that's widely celebrated, but in India, Holi, which is literally a festival of light and color. And I'll tell you something, if you want to have some fun, Google H-O-L-I, Google Images, and you will see just intense colors. And what happens in the festival is that, you know, there's religious elements to it, but a big part of it is like this revelry where you run around like in like white, and then you get these intense bags of brightly colored dust. And you throw it at people and your shirt just gets hit with all these amazing colors. Nice. We had the bakers embrace that visual element of Holi into their baking challenge, which was very, very cool. And actually on the St. Patrick's Day element, and I think this is really cool, is, you know, St. Patrick's Day, you're thinking about Guinness. Maybe you're thinking about... I'm thinking about Jameson because I've had some bad nights with Jameson and maybe Bailey's. What was interesting was one of the options, you know, so when you do some of these challenges, you'll have a twist. So for the St. Paddy's Day challenge, they had to make something that had a leprechaun on it, if I remember correctly. But then the twist was to add one of those classic St. Patrick's Day drink elements to it. Well, one of the competitors, she didn't drink alcohol. It was just part of her religion. And we offered like an Irish breakfast tea. And I think what's really cool is to understand that there's so many elements that you can embrace to make it work. You know what I mean? Mm. And I thought that was really neat. It's like, you know, again, St. Paddy's Day, I'm thinking about Guinness and Jameson and whiskey and stuff like that. But, you know, tea is a remarkable flavor, a really remarkable flavor. And to impart it, certainly in cooking, besides what it is as a beverage, or in baking is very, very fascinating. Because if there's one thing I'll tell you know what you learn doing Spring Baking Championship? Salt is important. It's not all sweet. Salt gives it depth of flavor. And savoriness is a wonderful thing to add to sweets. You really want that. That's what separates... you know, top finishers and ultimately champions is understanding all the layers of flavor that go into things.
Nice. So we got a double holiday feature on that episode. Looking forward to that. Now let's get into maybe a contestant or two that struck your eye or maybe a fan favorite with the audience. Shout out to your buddy Nacho as well, too. We all know about fan favorites on these baking championship series. Who are maybe someone that might stick out to viewers out there or someone who's going to kind of pop off the TV screen in the first couple episodes to fans?
Sure. I mean, there's, you know, it's so hard. I don't like to play favorites, so I'm just going to rattle off a couple things and whatever gets you there. There's one baker, Derek Corsino. He was out of Northern California. And it was really crazy because at the time we were shooting, there were all the wildfires. So, you know, it was really interesting just talking to him and, you know, him getting the updates from home and stuff like that.
Right.
He's an instructor. He teaches at a high school, if I recall correctly. And it was really great to see his style as a baker competing, being a teacher, presenting his stuff. You know, some of the challenges, they work with teams. He is the teammate to have because of his work as a teacher. So Derek's really great. Also, we had similar tastes in shirts because he wears like a lot of like short sleeve, like brightly colored, brightly patterned shirts. He's into tiki culture. Oh yeah. I mean, I'll tell you, you should follow him on Instagram. Like he shows you how to make like ridiculous, awesome Mai Tais. He gave me some really, really cool tips. So Derek is super fun. There's a baker, Medija. And what's interesting about Medija is she's a professional baker. She owns her own bakery, but she didn't have the classical training that some of the other bakers did. And that's one of those things that can become apparent in a competition show. But at the same time, she learned so much as she went. And another big thing in competition is how you take the losses. Because if you lose, there's a reason. And she was really great at taking that criticism and trying to figure out how to, you know, deal better with whether it was time management or just understanding that what she made didn't work. Okay. So it goes to show you, it's not just about a veteran. And so funny, there's one guy I'm thinking of, Laurent, I believe his name is Laurent. He's a classic French guy. He's been around the block, years, decades of experience. He makes entremets. So one of my favorite desserts ever of all time is chocolate mousse. Simple as it is, I adore it. An entremet is basically like a mousse, but in like a pie form or cake form, you know. Every time he made an entremet, I was just losing my mind. I just enjoyed it so much. And that's actually something different this season is, you know, in season four when I hosted, I would stand and the bakers would present and the judges would taste. This season, we all sat at this giant table, socially distant, and I got to try everything. So that was pretty fun, too.
Oh, nice. You got the plate. You've graduated.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, that I did. Yeah. Yeah.
Good stuff. Awesome. Ali Khan, thank you so much for hopping on. Again, remind people about the premiere date and where they can find Spring Baking on the Food Network. I've already got my DVR set myself, but when's the premiere for everyone who's out there listening?
Sure. February 22nd, so just under 2 weeks from the date of this recording. February 22nd, 9 p.m., 8 Central on Food Network. And if you have the Discovery Plus streaming service, you can watch it there as well.
Awesome. Ali, thanks again for catching up with us on the Course of Life. Looking forward to the season and excited to see more content from you as well.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
That interview with Ali Khan is brought to you by our friends at Desert Fox Golf, the makers of the Phone Caddy. The Phone Caddy is a one-of-a-kind phone holder for golfers designed to mount right onto the golf cart. The Phone Caddy works seamlessly with almost any phone model, and it Velcros onto the cart in seconds, even with the windshield up in your golf cart. You can keep your yardage and scoring apps at your fingertips, change music and answer calls and texts and more, all with the Phone Caddy. It's the most functional way to keep your phone safe and ready on the course at all times. And for our listeners, you can save 10% off your purchase with the promo code Course of Life. Again, that's 10% off your purchase of a Desert Fox Phone Caddy with the promo code Course of Life, including their Patriotic line, typically excluded from any deal. So head on over to their website, desertfoxgolf.com. Use the promo code Course of Life to save 10%. Again, that's promo code Course of Life at desertfoxgolf.com. Go get your phone caddy today. And we're back. Great interview there with Ali Khan. Great to hear about all the different things that go into being able to do a safe and COVID-free production in a tent at a resort. Makes me really want to get good enough to go be in one of these things.
Seriously. And how about that fact there? I know you appreciate this, since in a past life, you've seen the Food Network Kitchen. The idea that they built this Food Network Kitchen basically from scratch in an outdoor tent is like quite a feat. And you can't even notice it when you watch the filming of these baking seasons. And it's really cool to see that they did that safely as well. And I love what's to come this season. So again, it's season 2 of Spring Baking Championship, premiering this coming Monday night, the 22nd, 9/8 Central, Food Network with Ali Khan as the host. Very excited for this season.
It's going to be good. We'll keep an eye on Food Network, and we always keep in touch with Ali Khan. We like him. He's a cool dude.
Yeah, it's a good fall.
And if you like that interview with Ali Khan, plus everything else we do on this podcast, please give us a rating, 4 stars, thumbs up, whatever tells us that we're doing a great job, let us know. If you don't think we're doing a great job, forget you. I don't want you in my life. I don't need that negativity.
I like that. Look at you cutting out the negativity in 2021.
Don't need it.
You're on to bigger and better things. Don't I appreciate that.
I am on to pitchers and catchers reporting this week.
Yeah. I mean, and I've told you before, time and time again, I'm not a huge baseball fan, but I am the biggest baseball fan in the months of February, March, and April. Just the hope springs eternal, the beginning, the Southwest Florida vibes, the pitchers and catchers. I enjoyed that part of the baseball season even more than the actual regular season. Mm-hmm. So just the hype alone sends off good vibes. Nice job.
Games are scheduled for Sunday, February 28th.
Mm, nice.
It's going to be great.
Yeah, Red Sox are starting on Thursday this week as well, too. I don't know how much there's going to be to look forward to the Red Sox season, but I like the idea that we can just watch some spring training soon. So that's nice.
I look forward to the Yankees beating up the Red Sox and the rest of the AL East this year.
Yeah, that's very well going to happen. Yeah.
Let's talk about college basketball, because, you know, football season's over. It's time to turn our attention to March Madness. We're only a little while away now. And we're of course focused on our Quinnipiac Lady Bobcats, because they're just awesome and cool to watch.
They are so awesome.
Always a good time.
A top 10 play on SportsCenter as well.
There you go.
Check out the QU Bobcats website for that. The men's team not doing so hot, but the women doing well in MAC play as well again. So Coach Fabry got her team in the right direction as we head toward bracket season. And you're right, you said it, Mike. This was the first Sunday where it's like I'm scrolling through my scores app. I'm like, oh, so there really is no football. Like it's actually real now. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to bet the board on Saturday morning. And I'm just going to bet a million college basketball games. I'm going to put like $2 on a million games and just follow everything and pretend like it's March Madness. I had a great time this weekend doing that. So I'm officially pumped for March Madness. And with that quick announcement, we're ahead of the game now. We've still got a few weeks. We're officially going to do a Course of Life March Madness bracket pool. Well, we're ahead of the game. We've got the time to organize it and get people involved.
Yeah. We don't have a link right now, but we'll, you know, keep it on the Twitters.
It's going to be real simple, Mike. Instagram. Thanks. Follow us at COL Podcast. That's our podcast Instagram page.
It is.
Link to episodes, clips that you post there as well, too, and clips from our guests as well. It's a great follow. And we're going to post the information there as well first. We'll get it on Twitter as well. But that's where you'll see it. Sometime this week, I'm going to put the link up, get it going. I'm thinking real low hanging fruit, Mike. Maybe Venmo $5 for a bracket. We'll keep it light so everyone can get involved. And we'll build a nice little pool for everyone to get excited for March Madness.
Yeah, you know, we're not all made of money, Alex, because you just pretty much said that you spent $2 million on bets this weekend.
Right, I did. So I have a very rough bank account right now. No, I actually did pretty well on the bets. So I'm excited about what college basketball has to offer. Here's the fun part, which I know you can appreciate. The good teams in college basketball suck this year. Duke is horrible. Kansas is horrible. Kentucky's horrible. There's a chance that like two out of those three might not even make the tournament, which would be really awesome.
Basically, the Lisa Simpson method may be the best method for filling out your bracket this year.
You could be picking colors and picking mascots and all that good stuff to get the win. Yeah.
Love it.
Exciting.
Let's hashtag always end with food.
Yes. Brought to you by our friends at Saucy. Promo code Course of Life to get $5 off your first delivery of beer, wine, liquor, snacks, and all the above. All the good stuff in the cities they operate in. Promo code Course of Life with the Saucy app. Saucey. It was V-Day weekend last week.
It was.
We kind of teased a little bit what we were going to do.
We did.
I had a surprise for my wife, though. She did her bachelorette party to New Orleans. Her favorite beignet spot was not Café du Monde, the world famous one. It was Café Beignet. So I went online and I got the beignet mix from Café Beignet, and we made some beignets at home on Sunday morning to celebrate Valentine's Day. It was divine.
Were they as good as what she had in New Orleans?
Honestly, probably about 70%. Well, we admittedly made a couple of mistakes. You really got to pound the dough out, and you got to make the dough super thin. We were doing them in the air fryer, and like they tasted great, but they were a little too kind of like filled, a little too chewy and mealy for our taste. They're supposed to be kind of paper thin. So we're going to have to do that the second time around, maybe add a little bit more butter before throwing them in the air fryer. But the taste is there. And again, you throw the powdered sugar on top. That takes care of any problem you have in the kitchen.
There you go. Yeah. There you go.
Well, what did you get into last weekend?
Steak, you know, just like I said last week. Steak.
What was the cut? What was the verdict?
It was a bone in. Was it actually ribeye? It was, you know, I should know this.
It probably was. It was bone in. Yeah. There's not a whole lot of options bone in.
It was pretty, you know, it's good. I am a firm believer now in only cooking my steaks using the kind of Gordon Ramsay super hot, super fast butter based method.
So do tell. So you're talking in a pan, like,
high heat, olive oil in the pan, high heat, stick it in there, sear it on one side. You got to make sure you sear the fat too, then let it's on the outside, because nothing you want more than, you know, not cooked fat on that. And then after you flip it, give it like 30 seconds, and I throw in a pat of butter, you throw in some garlic cloves, throw in some thyme or rosemary if you got that, let the butter melt. Starts and then tilt the pan and start spooning that butter over your steak, and you just keep going until it's cooked to your liking.
There you go.
And then take it off, spoon the butter and herbs back on top of the steak, and let it sit for about 5 minutes, and you got a perfectly cooked steak. It only takes 6 minutes in the pan, 10 minutes total. So,
and it still cooks a little bit after you take it off too. People forget that. Yeah. You know, I'm tempted to cut in the middle. You want to peek. Nope. I know you want to peek in there. You want to look. It's very tempting. You can't
do it. Don't do it. You got to do it all based on feel. Don't you? You know, it's like what finger.
It's like a lab thumb cut, to, you know?
Yeah. Thumb to first finger is raw. Thumb to your middle finger is medium rare. Your ring finger is medium, and your pinky is well done.
Love that. That's a nice little gem there from MWRINC, the chef himself. And Baker as well, too. I won't sell you short there. And that's hashtag always in with food. Thank you for everyone who joined this week. Check out our vlogs on YouTube. Just put a couple of those up as well, too.
Yeah.
And a whole lot of content on Twitter and Instagram throughout the week. We'll see you all next week.